But it's good to be here this morning. Good to be here. I got a couple things I want to just share with you, a couple kind of announcements, I guess you might say. And that is on the 26th of this month, we will have finished Return to Me. And we're going to have a celebration service on Sunday evening here. So I want to invite you to be sure to be here for that, whether you've been a part of that or not. It's going to be a testimony service, so we need some of you to prepare your testimony of how God has worked through this, how He has spoke to you through this, maybe something He's specifically one week or another that He shared with you. And so we need those. Need to have those lined up. Be ready for that. You can let Mickey or myself know that you want to be a part of that, and we'll get you included in there, because I'm not going to prepare a long message.
Amen.
Okay, I thought I'd hear a few of those. And I figured the first one would come from Mickey, too. So, but no, we do want to hear from you. We want to hear what God is doing in your life. What has this brought to you? And what is it? How has it blessed you? And how has God blessed you through this study? That morning, I will be doing a wrap-up message for Return to Me, kind of an overview, follow-through type thing. And I would like to have just two or three sentences from about three of you. My email is on the front. My email address is on the front of the bulletin. And so I'd like for some of you just to email me just two or three sentences. Make them short. I'm going to include those in the sermon and the message that morning on the 26th. And then that night we'll have a complete service, testimony service. And following that service, we're going to have a celebration downstairs with a reception for the completion of Return to Me. So I want to encourage you on those things. Now, leading up to that week, I've also been talking to the staff and others about something else that I would like to see us do, and I just believe that it's something that we need to do as a church, and that's we're going to have a prayer vigil on the 23rd, Thursday the 23rd. We're actually going to start at 6 o'clock in the morning and run till midnight and give you an opportunity to come and just spend an hour in here. What we're looking at is perhaps doing 5 to 7 stations where you would come in through this door using a ramp, and there'd be a station right here, and you'd sit down there, and you would read some scripture that's there and pray whatever it's talking to you to pray about. And then we'll move to station 2, station 3, and we'll have, like I said, 5 to 7. We're still working on that to do that. And it's going to all be around what we've been studying for the last 7 weeks with Return to Me and the topics that we've studied. They may not be out of the book, but it's going to be on those same topics. So be in prayer about that. As soon as we get the registration signed up, we'll get that for you, let you know about that so that you can register. Hopefully have an online and sign-up sheets here so you can do both. But those are things that I believe God's leading us to do, that we can glorify God by uniting in these ways and through a prayer vigil. It's only 18 hours. We could do 24 hours, but I know that a lot of you say, that's my quiet time between 12 and 6 in the morning. And I'm real quiet during that time. And so rather than that, we're going to start at 6 in the morning and just go till midnight that night. We'll probably give you it'll take about an hour, but we'll probably do it on the half hour. So it'll be someone coming at 6, someone at 6:30, someone at 7, someone at 7:30. So that we get, and you can sign up even if all those time slots are filled and you want to come. We don't want to slow you down or stop you. You come on anyway and just fall in behind someone else there. Well, this morning, I've titled the message, To God Be the Glory. And you probably could have guessed that because of the songs, the worship set that we've had today. And we're going to be using, you see there, I think in the bulletin, you've got all three sets of scriptures listed there. John 4, 23 and 24. We'll use that one first. Then we'll go to John 15, using three verses there. And then Psalm 145. Some may ask, well, why does he keep using so many different scripture texts? And I'm doing it, it's coming out of the book, Return to Me, and trying to follow along with what we're studying there. So you want to be ready for those as we get to those scriptures. I noticed this morning, I got here after my hour and almost hour and a half drive here this morning, and I looked in the mirror. I went had to go to the restroom, so I looked in the mirror there as I was washing my hands. I looked at my shirt, and I'm thinking, man, it looks like I slept in this shirt. Trust me, I did not sleep in this shirt. I prepped it last night, got it ready, and did everything with it, hanged it on the thing. It looked good hanging on the hanger this morning when I got up. But when I got here, it wasn't. And I'll say that because I didn't want to just pick on what Mickey's wearing. I'll pick on what I'm wearing too. I say that because, you know, a lot of times we think things are looking okay. We think things are going along well for us. And yet when we take a deeper look, we can see there's a need for some improvement. And so that's what we want to look at today. How can we improve how we bring glory to God? God's people, true believers, that is, bring God glory by living a transformed life. It's through the actions and the words in our everyday lives, not just when we come to church on Sunday, but through our actions and our words in every day that we bring glory to God, or we are to bring glory to God, whether we do or not, we're supposed to. We sing songs like we did this morning, songs that use the word adore and to adore God, and there is scripture to acknowledge this terminology. In fact, the definition of the word worship actually includes to adore. To adore someone. When you adore someone, do you not love on them? Do you not dote over them and just want to do for them and bring recognition to them? The definition of adore is to love and respect someone deeply. To love and respect someone deeply. And I think we could question just how much we truly treat God with that level of adoration. How deeply do we love and respect God through the way we share Him, the way we live our lives? The story in the introduction to this week's Bible study in Return to Me is, I think it was titled, From Near Death to Life. And it should ring a bell with members of this church and many churches across our nation. Now, this church was not in the condition that that one was, but I think we can see some similarities there. The last half of that story is one of encouragement and invigoration. It shares, I believe, of God's great and glorious fulfilling of Jeremiah 29:11, where God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you." This church in the story was near to closing its doors forever. There was infighting in the church over who would be in charge. People were leaving the church. Their numbers were dwindling. Claude King, the author of our study, went in and spent 4 days with them. Then an interim pastor helped them for a time. People inside the church, it says, began getting their spiritual priorities in order. Instead of thinking about it's what I want and what I want to believe and I want everybody to believe the way I believe and I want it to be this way, people began getting their spiritual priorities in order and they called a new pastor. They said that through all this, some realized that they had not been baptized properly. People were being saved and added to the church. In fact, so many people were being added to the church that they outgrew their facility within a short time. And they entered into a building program. And the author says, near the end of the story, they began to touch the world for Christ. After all of that, through all of that, then they began to touch the world for Christ. Now, we do not do what we do as believers. We do not do it for recognition. But would it be nice for someone, would you like for someone to write that about Central Baptist Church? They began to touch the world for Christ. I think that's what God would want. And I think we would glorify God when others outside the church started recognizing that church is actually touching the world for Christ. So what's our first thing, our first point this morning, myself? Our first point is God's desired worship form. What is God's desired worship form? And here's where we're going to read our first scripture, John chapter 4. Verses 23 and 24, God's desired worship form. This is what it says in those verses. John chapter 4, beginning in verse 23, says, "But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." God desires, God wants you and I to worship Him. He created us to worship Him. His desire is for a much deeper adoration towards Him each day as we grow in our spiritual walk. As we sing, as we pray, as we study His Word together and individually, He longs and desires for a much deeper adoration toward Him so that He can bless us even more. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verse 6-8, reminds us of what God spoke to Isaiah And he said, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They worship me in vain, teaching as doctrines, human commands." And here we must be careful. I see this in the church across North America today. But unfortunately, much of our worship in North America today has become so routine that we give only lip service to God. We karaoke the words on the screen a lot of times without paying attention to the meaning or the intent of those very words that we're singing. And the same is true with our prayers and with listening to the message or reading God's Word. Is your worship experience more about visiting briefly with your friends or checking off the Sunday morning good thing to do box? Or is it about drinking in, feeding on God's Word, drinking in His love for us as we express our deep heartfelt adoration to God? How many times, when was the last time you walked out of this worship service feeling like you could take on the world with Christ? When you walked out of here just feeling, man, God just did something to me in that service. Not because of what George did or what Mickey did or anybody else, but what God did. When was the last time you walked out of a worship service feeling like that? I pray over these last few weeks as we've studied Return to Me together that you have begun to make a change, to deepen your prayer life, to strengthen your walk with God. God wants us to worship in spirit and in truth. But what does that mean? What does it mean to worship in spirit and truth? This passage reminds us that God is spirit, and that's with a capital S. And those who worship Him worship in spirit and truth, it says. Now looking at this passage, I don't know if you realize it or not, but with spirit capitalized, we see all three parts of the Trinity in these verses. God the Father is there. We praise God. We glorify God. The Holy Spirit is there with a capital S. And then the truth, it says, in spirit and truth. Truth is Christ. Remember, Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So to worship God with complete adoration is to worship Him with spirit connected to the Holy Spirit who lives within our own heart. And also we are to worship God in Christ, because without truly believing that Christ died for your sins and buried your sins and rose again from the grave, you cannot give God the adoration that He deserves. Our worship should be spurred by the Holy Spirit. Our worship should be spurred by the Holy Spirit's prompting from within us. And it should be predicated on our gratefulness of what Christ has done for us. If you were in line at the grocery store, getting ready to check out, waiting for your turn to check out, and a man came in through the front of the store, waving a gun and threatening to kill everyone in sight. And I know this is kind of almost not a good thing to talk about because of it's happening today. But if you were waiting in line at the grocery store and a man came in the front of the store, waving a gun, threatening to kill everyone in sight, and then someone else in line, either in front of you or behind you, some man pulled his own gun, and he stopped that would-be shooter. Didn't have to shoot. He just stopped that would-be shooter. How long would you be grateful for what happened that day? For a day? For a week? No. You'd be grateful for a lifetime, regardless of how you feel about guns or what happened. You'd be grateful for a lifetime. You would tell the story of how God intervened and saved your life that day, wouldn't you? You'd tell that story for the rest of your life. If you're a believer, Jesus Christ has saved your life. Much more than that scenario I just played out. He saved not only this life, but He saved your life for all eternity. He saved you from an eternity of torment and continuous pain in a burning lake of fire called hell. He deserves our complete adoration. He deserves our worship. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God Almighty, I want to be the kind of true worshiper that You want me to believe and to want me to be. The kind of worshiper that You deserve and that You desire. Fill me with Your Spirit, Your Holy Spirit, and Your truth of Jesus Christ, so that I may worship You in a manner that You deserve.
I do not want to only give lip service in my worship. I want to show greater adoration to you each week in my worship than ever before. Prepare me to worship you with complete love and adoration for you. Accept my worship through the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Our second point this morning is to abide in Christ and bear lasting fruit. And this come, we see this in John chapter 15. All scripture is great. This is just a good one, a favorite one of mine, this whole chapter. And these three verses are three of my favorites. Beginning with verse 5, and then skipping to verse 8, and then on down to verse 16. Verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain or abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Three of my favorite verses, as I said, in this chapter, and they're so fitting today. Like a branch of a vine, as long as we stay attached to Jesus Christ, we will grow and produce fruit, heavenly fruit, God's fruit. These verses, when put together this way, to me, they create just a beautiful sonnet. Because it talks about Jesus is the vine. He's firmly planted. He's rooted. He cannot be uprooted. And the church is a branch just coming off of that vine that's firmly rooted. And it's connected to directly to Jesus and Jesus only. And then the longer that branch stays connected to Jesus, the true vine, the stronger that branch grows and the more fruit it should be producing, fruit and more branches that will produce fruit. When we look at churches today, when we look at our own lives today, what spiritual fruit can be attributed to our attachment to the vine? In other words, what fruit can be directly attributed to Jesus working through you in the last year? Has someone come to Christ through your life in the past 6 months? That's spiritual fruit. Who is a stronger Christian today because of the time that you set aside and you spent with that person or those persons, helping them to grow in Christ and praying for them? And how about you? How have you grown spiritually? What evidence, if you had to give physical evidence of how you're a stronger Christian today than you were a year ago, what would be that physical evidence? More time in daily Bible study and then putting that into practice, what you're learning each day? More faithful in your attendance and your serving God? More faithful in your giving, both of your time, or all three of your time, your talents, and your treasures, as we talked about last week? Are you more faithful in sharing Jesus Christ with people outside the church? What fruit can be directly, spiritual fruit, can be directly attributed to Jesus working through you? If you're attached to the vine, it says we'll be producing fruit. If you're attached to that vine and you're alive, you will be producing fruit. Fruit, it says, that will remain. Folks, perhaps a heart check is in order for each one of us this morning. And in verse 2 of this same chapter, it says that Jesus said, every branch in me that does not produce fruit, God the Father removes. And he prunes every branch that does produce fruit. I mean, sometimes it's going to hurt, but he's going to prune us so that we'll produce more fruit. Every branch that produces fruit, so that it will produce more fruit. Church attendance and good deeds will not get you entrance into heaven. God cuts off every branch, he says, every church attender who does not or is not producing heaven's fruit. Ephesians 5 shares this about the fruit that we are to bear. He says, you once were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And verse 8 of our own passage that we read there in John chapter 15 says, God is glorified by this. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit. You see, folks, the way to please God is not by your church attendance. You are to be here. We are to attend, to come together, to build up one another, and to worship God. But the way to please God is by doing everything that He calls you to do to produce spiritual fruit. Verse 8 concludes by saying, by this we prove to be His disciples, by producing fruit. It is the fruit that you and I produce that demonstrates whether or not we are His true disciples. It's not that my neighbors all know at a certain time on Sunday morning, they're going to see my car back out of the drive. They know I'm going to church. People at work, they know I go to church. But is that producing spiritual fruit? Let's pray again. Lord Jesus, thank you for choosing me. You are the only true vine, and I'm only a branch. But help me, help keep me connected to you, and help keep me producing spiritual fruit in my life, and to grow in producing spiritual fruit in my life and in those around me. Enable me to faithfully abide in you and to allow your words to abide in me. Lord, I'm depending on you because I can't do it on my own. I'm depending on you to bear much fruit in and through my life to bring glory and honor to the Father. I earnestly pray that you will reveal the kind of fruit through me that proves that I am a disciple of yours before the watching world and especially before God the Father. In your name I pray. Amen. My third point for this morning is to declare God's glory everywhere. Declare His glory everywhere. Psalm 145, verses 3 through 5 is our passage for this point. It says, Yahweh, or God, is great and is highly praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation will declare your works to the next and will proclaim your mighty acts. I will speak of your splendor and glorious majesty and your wonderful works. Folks, we talked about to join God, joining God in His work a couple of times in the last 2 weeks. And to join God in His work means to declare who He is to the nations, wherever we find ourselves. It begins here in this house, His house, in the church house. It begins here, and it is to be carried from here to your home. You are to proclaim God in your own home at all times. The things done in secret should also be the things that glorify and honor God. Deuteronomy chapter 6 says that when you lie down, you're to proclaim God. You're to praise God, to talk about God. You are to, when you get up, proclaim God. As you walk with your children, the things that you do throughout the day with your children, at all times, it says, we are to proclaim who God is in our own home. And then from home, we are to declare God at work and let people know we not only go to church, but let them know who God is and what He wants in their life as well. In school, same way, students. In school, we're to declare who God is. We're to let people know who God is in school. Our neighbors and those, everyone that we meet, wherever we go. If we're not willing to declare God's glory every place that we find ourselves, we may not be properly attached to the vine. God, Yahweh, is great and highly to be praised. Folks, you can search the whole world. You can search the depths of the sea. You can search other planets and other galaxies. And you'll not find anyone or anything that even comes close to the greatness of God the Father. He created it all. This is our time. My time and your time. This is our time. This is our generation to declare God's works throughout the ages in our lives today, wherever we find ourselves, because God's placed us there. And as we talked about last week, He's there ahead of us. He's there waiting for us to join Him in that work. God's glory has been passed down through the ages. Someone shared it with you at some time in your life, and now it is your turn to declare it to those around you, to your peers, to the next generation, no matter what your age is. This is something that we should be willing to joyfully shout as we walk through life.
and not just on special occasions. Think, oh, I did that because I worked for EBS, or I worked at this, or I did that for the church, or I teach, or I do this. Folks, if you truly want to give God glory, what is required of you today to begin the transformation that God desires you to be the person that He designed you to be? What is it that is still lacking? What is it that still needs to be done in your own life personally so that you can glorify God even greater? We have spent 7 weeks looking at this topic, return to me, a request from God, and then He gives us a promise too. He says, return to me, that's His request. But then His promise is, and I will return to you. He says, return to me, and I will return to you. He's never walked away from us. We as believers understand that He never walked away from us. So what does that mean? Yeah, we've turned around. We've turned away. And so we've been studying this, and we know the church in North America has fallen away from living as God intended. And you and I are a part of the church in North America. The church is not buildings. It's people. His believers. You and I are part of that church. So therefore, what is your individual responsibility? Folks, I believe that it is time to stop looking around. It is time to stop making excuses. It's time to stop waiting for others to make the change. God is calling on you. He's calling on me. He's calling on you to make the changes that you alone can make in your own life. That is the change within you to be fully His, following Him. It's His Holy Spirit. Because His Holy Spirit is waiting. His Holy Spirit is desirous, just waiting inside you, desiring to do God's work in you and through you so that God can be glorified by your life. As we prepare for our invitation, let's go to the Lord in prayer one more time here. Almighty God, Creator, Redeemer, Provider, Healer, and we could go on and on. My desire is to praise You for who You are. Yet, in the flesh, I cannot do this alone. I need Your Holy Spirit to even help me get there, Lord. I need Your Holy Spirit to transform me into the person that You created me to be. You alone, O God, are worthy to be praised. Help me to not neglect my privilege, my obligation to tell the world about You, Your loving kindness, Your compassion, and the love that You poured out on me and what You want to pour out on others. Lord, not only with my words, enable me and reconstruct me so that I willingly demonstrate with all aspects of my life a devotion to You, a devotion that is unparalleled in this world, that makes people want to desire to ask and to seek what causes me to give You such devotion. Grant me a life, Lord, that will honor You in every moment of every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand with me as we enter our time of invitation. It's God's invitation, as we say every week. It's God's invitation for you to respond, to you to talk to Him as He's spoken in your heart today. What has He been sharing with you today? What has He been requiring or asking of you today? What is it that God is requesting that you do to glorify Him even greater than you've ever glorified Him before? Every one of us in here in different levels, different places in our own spiritual walk, our spiritual life. But there's always a next step where we can grow closer to Him. Father God, help us to understand what that step is. Help us to right now to be willing to step out, if that's what You want us to do, to step out into the aisle, come forward and kneel and pray and seek Your face and sharing by us coming forward, sharing with others, saying, I am going to follow God even if He wants me to do things that I've never dreamed possible. And let us encourage one another with our movement, with our actions, with what we do in this hour, this moment, Father. And if You bring us to weeping, let us weep. If You bring us to shouting, let us shout. Let us praise You and bring glory to You in our singing and in our prayers and in every action right now in this minute. If we won't do it here, we won't do it now. We won't do it when we leave here. So let us honor You and respond to You If someone here does not know Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, I pray, Lord, that you would touch their heart right now and ask them to step out to come forward to speak with Johnny or myself or someone else. Thank you, Father, for your word and for your love for me, that even as a sinner, before I was saved, you loved me enough to send your son. And now, even though I live in the flesh and I fall, you pick me up and you help me to carry on, to grow stronger. Help us all in that way to glorify you, in Jesus' name. Amen. You respond as God leads you right now.